Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
You know, I love it when God starts to speak to us in profound ways. And so I just pray over this word this morning that it would come forward like he means for it to be, like a healing balm to our souls. Because one thing I know about you, God, you know how to heal your people. You know how to correct and direct and speak and lead. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a Bible, you can look at 1 Corinthians 2 with me. If you want to look, you can look on the screen, take a picture of it, read it later. If you study the devotions through the week, and I hope you do. I hope you don't just take my word for what I say. I hope you look to him for his word to be true in your life. I hope you go and look and examine the scripture and be like, oh, wow, I see what you're saying, God. Not just, did you hear what Lisa said? Lisa is one girl that loves the Lord, that I can't do one thing without him and without his presence. So look to him, your author and finisher. And here's what he says. It's Paul's actually speaking. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did. And Jesus, you know, Jesus is speaking to us in so many parables and so many mysteries a lot of the time when he's talking. And sometimes he's just point blank. This is what it is. And so I wanted to point out some of the plans of the world and some of the plans of the rulers of darkness and the demonic host that are the prince of the power of this air. When God saw Satan fall like lightning, he didn't cast him to hell. He cast him to this earth. Did you know that? Yes. And then God gave man dominion over everything as he created us in his image. And then we gave authority to the enemy by believing and doing what he said instead of what God said. Still going on today. So I want to talk about a breakdown of how someone can think they're doing something incredible by taking out the Lord, but God has a plan that goes way beyond that. And I wanted us to look to him. He's our only Savior. He's our only King. He's my only king. Well, except for Scott, you know. Satan has a role in the crucifixion of Jesus. Scripture says this, you know, the enemy's always working behind the scenes to try to get you. The enemy can only be in one place at one time. He's not omnipresent, but the Lord is. Amen. Yahweh, everywhere. All the time, all at once, knows everything about you, and has a plan and a purpose set for you, and invites you into life. He's like, here, I'm going to set before you today life and death, and here's a big clue. Pick life that will go well with you, right? And then the enemy comes along behind you like a tiny fox trying to mess up your stuff. So here we are, you know, sitting at the day where, you know, Jesus already had oil poured on him. He smells like spikenard. He's sitting with his guys, and they're having dinner. Peter, pass me the lamb. Put some onions on it. Little tzatziki. That'd be great. And they're having food, and they're sharing food. They're dipping it in their sauces, and they're enjoying one another. Jesus is washing their feet. You know, there's an incredible culmination of things coming into play. And Judas leans in to his bread. They're all saying, who's going to betray you, Jesus? He's telling them, someone's going to betray me. You all are going to be set on a rocking horse in just a little bit because of me. But it's okay, you know. These things have to take place for my Father's plan. And so they're all, you know, is it me, Lord? Is it me that's going to betray you? And there's the scripture right here in Luke 22. It says, Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And then in John, he says it like this. Now, after the piece of bread, am I the one? Satan entered him. And Jesus said, what you do, go do it quickly. Now, if you can imagine the hordes of hell and every demonic host cheering at the death of such a great man because they thought they won. We killed the Lord of glory. Now, surely all of those people will scatter, right? They misunderstood that God's plan all along was for Jesus to take on the sin of the earth, all of your sin, all of mine, and to take it and nail it to a cross that it wouldn't be attached to you anymore, and that blood would come and cover you, and that you would be separate from those very things. We still live in a fallen world where the enemy will come and try to set you off course and take you out by temptations, by people. You know, Stacy preached an incredible message last week. I encourage you to go look it up on YouTube or Facebook or Spotify or wherever we are and listen to it over and over. The title was God Meant It for Good. And I can tell you, after the week that we've had in the United States, I've questioned that. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord. The rulers of this age, spiritual forces, evil. If they had known the wisdom of God, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. So listen to this one. Hebrews 2. Yes, I've just been in the Word. I've just been reading it. I've just been letting it be a comfort to my soul, letting it speak to me. What do you want from me, God? What is my portion? And he'll speak. The only thing that ministers to me is his word and his worship. Nothing anybody says is helpful. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him, Satan, who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those through fear of death, were all lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And this is talking about the time when Jesus looks like he's in the grave because his body went down. But Jesus rose and went into hell and disarmed and dekeyed the enemy and took back keys. Right there. He had the power of death, but then Jesus went and took it back so that we don't have to be afraid of death and that our lifetime we're not going to be subject to bondage because he holds the keys to everything. And you know what he's really good at? Unlocking. He's really good at opening. And he's really good at freedom. Disarm Satan. There's an illusion of victory. You know, there's a song we sing. It's the last verse of it, it says something like, you know, even when the devil thought he won, you showed up. We sing these songs because the enemy comes at you from every side, but God is in you. Do you understand that? The enemy is coming at you, but God is in you. When he comes at you, God is already in you. There's a book called Anti-Fragile. Some of us are fragile, some of us are durable, and some of us are anti-fragile. I'm moving from durable to anti-fragile right now in my life. I want the Lord to speak to my life in such a way that his convictions rest on me so strongly that I don't question when I don't see, that I believe when I don't see, right? And the devil probably thought that crucifixion was a victory, short-lived, of what he perceived. But in Isaiah, even before Jesus ever touched the earth, he said the scripture that death is swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up in victory if we can set our eyes on him who made us. Listen to this. After this life, when the corruptible has put on corruption, this is 1 Corinthians, and this mortal has put on immortality. Can you just think for a second? This mortal, myself, yourself, that fast when you breathe your last breath, and you put on immortality, you become incorruptible from then on, death is swallowed up in victory. Forever with him. It's an incredible thought. It's a complete destruction of death. Transition from something perishable into something non-perishable forever. Yes, no. I'm just going to speak for a moment from my heart. Because I am a fan of Charlie Kirk. And do I agree with everything he said? No. Have I seen him lose his temper? Yeah, I have. But most of the time, no. Most of the time he keeps it. Because that's somebody that I have followed because of conviction. When your convictions are in you so deep that you can talk about them anywhere that you go, that's an admirable quality. Because I've imagined myself trying to answer, and actually, I don't even have to imagine. I have answered poorly many times. And I know what I believe, and I know what's in the depth of my soul about Jesus and about how much I love him and what he's given me. And I understand that he is the victor and that he's my king. Yeah, I love him. You know, when I watch somebody die for words that they said, I'm undone. It's not new. We can name names right now. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, right? Abraham Lincoln, Charlie Kirk, Jesus. Am I putting Charlie Kirk by Jesus? No. I have one Lord. I have one Savior. It's Jesus. Jesus is way up there, but he also was killed because of what he said. And then what happens whenever someone that is, you know, like respected like that, when they die, you know, I mean, I looked at so many scriptures. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And I'd be like, yep. And I'd cry and I'd think about a little 3-year-old kid, doesn't have a dad. Think about my own grandkid that has their dad, you know. And it's humanity. You know, there used to be absolutes in life. A funeral procession goes by, you don't even know who's in the car. You take off your hat and you be still. And you have some respect. Absolutes. You don't sass your grandmother. You don't do it. If you do, you get taught a lesson on your backside. There were absolutes. It seems like they're missing, you know. And you look at what we have, you know, in the beginning of our country and way back when it was founded, did you know the Constitution only mentions God 4 times? The Constitution mentions God 4 times. See how you could say that? The Constitution mentions God 4 times. But before it was a constitution, we were separate states. We're separate little colonies all grouped together trying to become something. And every state that you had to sign your citizenship, that you were a believer, except for one, I think it was Massachusetts because they were Catholic, but you still had to make a declaration of your faith. And you had to say, I'm a Christian. That way, when you're looking at the Bible and Leviticus and how and what Moses did, and everybody knows that it's an absolutely wrong thing to steal from someone else. We know that. We can argue it all day long, but at the bottom of it, we know that. We know it's wrong to murder someone. We know it. We come to places in society where, I mean, this week we didn't get to see one murder, but two. And you know, the images, like you can see them in your brain right now. They're in there forever. Something happens to us. We get something called PTSD. And then I grew up in a violent house, an alcoholic stepfather. I've seen some chairs flying around and other things. I'm not like a wimpy girl, is what I'm telling you. And I've suffered some trauma, you know, at people's hands. But I've never seen that, you know. And I have now. Something happens to us. It like rakes our heart in a direction of wrong. How do we come back from that? I'm sorry if I'm triggering anyone. I'm not trying to trigger anyone. I'm trying to point out the state of things and what happens when someone is martyred. Because I believe Charlie Kirk was martyred. The more that I look at it, the more I believe it. And I hope so, and I hope that people come up kind and come up, you know, in the same kind of way where they know their convictions and can speak them. I pray that you know your convictions and can speak them with kindness, with self-control, with conviction, that someone might listen to what you believe and what you think because you believe what God says and what God believes and what God leads. We can't change the laws of the Bible because of what we feel. That's not who we are. We are bought with a price. We belong to him. It's another scripture. God is our refuge. God is our strength and ever-present help in trouble. I mean, I just keep looking at stuff like that. A bruised reed. He's not going to forsake. He's going to hold on. He draws near to the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. None of that stuff was really helping me, but this helped me. Let me read this one. This is from Revelation. It says, he, Jesus, opened the seal because he's the only one who can. He opened the fifth seal. And I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Did you ever ask that? I'm probably the only one. Probably the only one who goes there. And then a white robe was given to each of them who were martyred and said to them, rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was complete. And then I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Are you watching the news? Who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That encourages me, because that is a seal marked on me as a Christian woman that I will live every day speaking who he is and what he has done without fear. Do you know that anger masks fear? Because I've been angry about this. And I've had conversations with people that might have a different opinion than me. People have a different opinion than me. Isn't that shocking? People have a different opinion than you. And you know what? Who cares? Because you know whose opinion matters? His. He is the one who gets to make the rules, because he is the one that rose from the dead. You can't do that. You don't get to make up a law based on how you feel, because you can't even create one flower, let alone raise from the dead. He is the one that holds the keys in his hands. So he makes the rules, and then we follow the rules, and we trust that he has set a plan in motion. But you know what he's put in your mouth? A sword of the Spirit, to be able to speak the word of God that heals people, the word of God that can divide your sin from you. It can separate you from the things that try to press you and take you down and take you out. And you have the sword of the Spirit. It is your only offensive weapon, and you carry it because you're his and you're marked, right? Anger masks fear, even for me. What am I afraid of? That the gospel won't be preached. You know, that my kids and my grandkids won't see a world where they can actually earn money and buy a house and live with their family and be safe. That's the American dream, in case you didn't know what it was. It's pretty simple and pretty basic. And then you have the right to have a gun so you can protect those things, not so you can kill someone. Guns are inanimate. They're like this. I could probably kill somebody with this if I wanted to. It's got a lot of spikes. But the thing is, a gun is an inanimate object. These are my views. These are the views of the Constitution. These are the views of the founding fathers. The thing is, our country is not Christian anymore. But our government is founded on Christian values. And you can clearly see those two things do not mesh or mix. So how do we serve as a minister of reconciliation to create unity in a situation where our mindsets are totally different? You know where I've come? I belong to the Lord. I will do my best to walk in a love seasoned with grace and tell the truth. Tell the truth. You can't walk around operating in fear. At first, fear comes. Man, is this going to happen to us? You know, it's not a new thought. It's just been decades since we've seen anyone taken out for their views. It's been a couple decades. But we're not going to just stand here and be murdered. Because what happens to me, this is how I am. Tell me how you are. When something happens to me that I obviously feel like was an assault from the kingdom of darkness, you know, like my sister dying. Okay, I know people die. I know she didn't take care of herself. But I saw her, alcoholic woman, turn her heart back to the Lord. And I saw her change. And so did many of you watching her in Bible study. And you heard her heart start to belong to the Lord. And I could see her. I could see her getting all the way free and on this side. But she died. And so what I do then is that I just get crazy. I start creating women's events everywhere that I can. And because that's my response. If you take my sister, I will raise up 10 or 20 of her. If you take somebody from me, I will raise up more. If something comes against me, like I had cancer one time. It was bad. It was brutal. I was 40 years old, 20 years ago. I didn't know if I was going to live or die, you know. But God chose that I would live. And so here I am. So I try to take care of this body. I try to make sure I'm getting screened, and I make sure that I speak that as an advocate everywhere that I go. Because my answer is not to lay down and succumb. It is to fight and to rebuild and to create something stronger than it was before. Better, stronger, faster, deeper, truer. Whatever's good, whatever's noble, whatever's of a good report, those are the things that we will think on, right? And we'll be able to represent what we believe in the word to be true. Either the words of the Lord are true for everybody or they're not true at all. Here's a scripture that I also liked this week. Most assuredly, I tell you, Jesus speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. John 15:20. Remember the word I said to you, Jesus speaking. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It's here. It's happening. It's the United States. What if you were told that you had to deny Jesus Christ or give your life? Settle it now. There was a story Stacy told me. I'm going to try to see if I can tell it. And it's a group of missionaries that go to China. And the leader and the eight or so people, they get caught distributing Bibles and preaching the gospel. And the rulers start to beat them and cane them and whatever they're doing. And they're telling the leader, if you just denounce your faith. They don't even put them in prison. They're just beating them, torturing them. They don't want to sentence them or put them in prison. They just want them to deny Jesus, deny your faith. And the leader's like, I can't do it. And he came into this season of his life where he was having a silent season. You ever have a silent season where you don't hear God for a while and you're like, Father, please, word of God, speak. Show me something. Speak to me something. And he was having a silent season. He's on this mission trip with these people, responsible for these who are being beaten. They're being starved. It's a couple days into it. And they bring a picture of Jesus, you know. Like you can imagine some kind of a little print of what they thought Jesus, it would be Jesus. You would know it. And they put it on the ground and they said, stand on it. Just stand on that and all this can stop. We'll take you. We'll call your embassy. We'll send you home. And he's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll never do it. And then what he hears the Lord say, finally, stand on me. Stand on me. Who cares if you stand on that picture? Who cares? You know, you think the weight of the world depends on your decisions and what you do? Do you think that God's glory needs your praise? It doesn't. God's glory exists way beyond our praise, guys. And when the man took the step and he stepped on Jesus, I can carry this. I can free you right here. You can't do it, but I can. And he stands on the Lord, not in denial, to stand on him. And they call the embassy and the people get freed. It's a great story. So much of this stuff, like if we put it back on the Lord, is the one who can sustain and carry and protect and deliver. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Do you hear this? There's so many people that want to respond with violence. That's not me. That's ridiculous. That's what we're condemning. And I've heard it, man. People are calling for violence. There's always going to be some Nazi, crazy, skinhead, white supremacist, ridiculous group. Anyone who goes, let me just say it like this. Anyone who is too far extreme in any direction is dangerous and probably in error. You know why? Because there's no way to bring the temperature down with that. There's no way to have a conversation that I can hear you and you can hear me and we can disagree, but we can walk away friends. We don't shoot each other in the throat. Listen to this. This helped me. Acts chapter 6, the disciples are, you know, man, they're ramping up and they're doing their stuff. They're full of the Holy Spirit now. They're experiencing power they haven't seen. And some of the work that had to be done outside of that ministry portion, they needed help. You know, so I have a Christine and an Angie. If you don't know my Christine, and now I have a Donna too. It's kind of awesome. People that will just do stuff like crazy and come in. And we have so many volunteers. Every one of you, I can start naming your names. You know, all those bags you carried in today, Marianne. It's like everybody doing their part. I can't do all of that stuff, but everybody leaning in makes it all happen. And so they assigned Stephen to be in charge of some stuff. And it's kind of a cool story. It's right here. Stephen, full of faith and power. He did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen wasn't a dishwasher. There's nothing wrong with being a dishwasher. That's a powerful thing. I mean, I need a clean plate. I need something to eat off of. It says right here. Stephen is the servant, but he's full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and signs among the people. Whatever you're doing, do it with great faith, moving in power and signs and wonder as he's with you. Somebody didn't even hear that. Every single one of you in every sphere of life that you're in should be carrying signs and wonder in the power of God in every direction. And they assigned Stephen to oversee this stuff. And then verse 9, there arose some, you know, what is called the synagogue of freedmen, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So they secretly induced men to say, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders, the scribes, and they came upon him and they seized him and they brought him to the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words." Spewing hate could be another way to say that. In this holy place and in the law. We've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face like the face of an angel. If you keep reading it, it's a long story, but Stephen starts to explain to them the whole story from the beginning until right where they're standing through every single bit of church history. And when he gets to the end, they're like stonewalled. It's like some of you sometimes. I'm like, "Are you with me? Are you here? Are you awake? Hello?" And he goes a step further. You guys aren't this, but the Pharisees and the scribes were. And they had already said in their hearts what they were going to do. And he goes, "You're a stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You will always resist the Holy Spirit, just like your fathers did, and so you do. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, capital J, of whom now you have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." When someone in opposition to the word of God hears the direction and word of God and it doesn't line up with their life, or somebody that they love has a life that isn't following the word of God, it's heartbreaking. And when they hear that God's word isn't accepting that or doesn't glorify that or isn't on that, it grips their heart. And if they can't have their way, if you can't have a God that fits into your box, "Here, God, this is what I'm going to do. You get on board." That makes you God. He is God. Remember, you can't make the flower. You can't raise from the dead. You have no power. He has all the power. when you speak and cast out a devil, that's in his name, not your name. Sons of Sceva. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. God, we hate you so much. And being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You should mourn with people who mourn. If somebody is mourning, you should mourn. That's all you should do, is take a breath and be a human being and mourn. And get yourself in a place where your heart can be examined by the Lord. God, would you heal it? Would you heal it, God? Only you can do it. Look. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a louder voice and they stopped up their ears. They wouldn't even hear it then. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And people saw it. The witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord, receive my spirit, and Lord, don't hold it against them. How about that, church? How about that? This was Saul that did this. And you know what happened to Saul? Man, lightning from the sky, got knocked off his high horse, changed his mind because the holy God came and spoke to him. You're doing it wrong, son. You're doing it wrong. And repentance is the cure. And Saul becomes the writer of the New Testament that we're reading today. There's always hope. There's always hope as long as you stay soft in your heart. There is always hope as long as you stay pliable and let him speak to you and through you. His word in your heart. God, I've hid my word, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you, God. God, I just pray for anybody who has a love for God and country. Father, you're the one who established it. Now show us how to do it. We count on you, God, in these moments, that we would stand up and be the voice of truth. Not our truth, your truth. Anybody can be loud. You speak with convictions that are so deep that they're immovable in you. You guys can stand up. Besides Charlie Kirk's murder this week, we saw this little Ukrainian girl get stabbed to death. Yeah. In North Carolina, in public transit. I think that happened on August 22nd, but I just learned of it just a couple days ago. Besides that, Chicago. What, we love Chicago. Zara is there, man. We like their pizza's great. We gotta go there. It's like, it's been wild in the streets. On Labor Day, some 50-something people were shot in the streets and killed because somebody picked up a gun and used it. There's another school shooting this week in Denver. You know, it's like if you look at the news, it can be overwhelming at where we live. Are we just going to have to stay home all the time? Put bars up, you know? I mean, when I was a kid, I used to see these movies. I couldn't remember what it was called. I think one was called Escape to New York. There's been other movies where, and people started to live underground. Because if you came up, it was like this everywhere. And not just in the city where we live, everywhere. The burbs, everywhere. Because the love of people grows cold. We're walking around with PTSD. Too many scenes have we witnessed that our hearts don't contain it anymore and people don't care. What has to happen is the truth of the very offensive gospel has to pierce the heart in such a way that we can see that without him, we're toast. without a surrendered life to God, we're going to go in cyclical motion. We're just going to keep repeating the same sin patterns and having the same broke down spirit, the same wasted time and the same depression. But when we let him come in and pierce our hearts with his truth, with his word, with his love, what if we knew that he loved us in spite of what we're looking at in all of these acts of violence? I encourage you to turn off your social media and fast and pray and ask the Lord what he would have of your life and what he would have from your voice, because he didn't make you unable to speak and he commanded you on how to speak. Do that. You have a great week. I love you a lot. Father, have your way in this place. Be with your people. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.